Hey, everybody, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about editorial cartoons, and we've got three great editorial cartoonists joining us, Ed Wexler, Taylor Jones, and Rick McKee, and we're going to start off with Rick McKee. Rick, this cartoon is just absolutely great. Today, we're doing our favorite Trump cartoons. These are the cartoons that all of you picked out of all of your Trumps that you like the best. And I think this is a great one. And we are sick of these two leftovers.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This one was actually from the last election cycle, but just run it again. I think it still works.
Yeah, you'll have to upload it again to run it again.
Leftover cartoons for leftover times.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
The word.
It's good. This is Ed Wexler. Ed was a creative director at Disney for 30 years. He was a regular cartoonist for U.S. News and World Report. He drew the star-studded caricature covers for the Hollywood Reporter's Emmy and Academy Awards issues for many years. And he was nominated for an Emmy. And it's great to have you here, Ed.
Thanks, Daryl.
This is a wonderful Trump cartoon. Trump is thinking about Mount Rushmore, which has images of Trumps carved into it. And he says, I've done more for this country than all those guys combined. And I think that's a wonderful cartoon.
Ed, you're my favorite Trump caricature. And you're really great with his posture always.
Well, you guys are both like top-notch caricaturists. I feel like the odd man out here.
Nah, you're top-notch too, Rick. Third cartoonist, here is Taylor Jones with Homo Trumpus Disgustus. I think this is very funny. I don't think newspapers will print poop cartoons, though.
That's great. That's great, Taylor.
Well, thanks. You know,
that is really funny. I just took it in.
Taylor Jones is a brilliant caricaturist for the Hoover Digest at Stanford University. He was the staff cartoonist for many years at El Nuevo Dia newspaper in Puerto Rico. Well, and he drew for many years for U.S. News and World Report magazine, and he's won a ton of awards. Taylor.
You're laying it on pretty thick, Daryl. But, the trouble with Trump for me is that an awful lot of the work I've done with Trump has been scatological because that's just what I think of him. And I can't get away from it. And I've probably done a number of cartoons that people won't publish.
I did notice that, Taylor.
I think I'm the lost leader, Daryl.
You're the cartoonist that all the other cartoonists support. So, Rick, you were the cartoonist for decades for the Augusta Chronicle in Georgia. You draw the comic strip Pluggers. And we have syndicated your editorial cartoons for 20 years. Yeah. Wow. Delighted to have you here.
It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're going to be looking at a bunch of your cartoons first. And here you've got Trump on the toilet with Constitution toilet paper. Trump says everybody knows the first anniversary is the paper anniversary. So true. Believe me. First anniversary of January 6th. This is a great cartoon, but I don't think newspapers print sitting on the toilet cartoons.
Yeah, I had a feeling when I drew it that probably wasn't going to work. But one of the things that I have so much fun when I draw Trump is, and it's becoming less and less fun as the years go by, but he's not only a fun person to draw visually, but his speech patterns and the way he talks are so funny. And I try my best to try to copy that and exaggerate that, but it's hard to exaggerate Trump on so many levels.
Rick, have you noticed that whenever Trump speaks, of course, as you said, he likes to say everybody said, but he tends to escalate. He'll go from saying a lot of people saying to everybody saying it. He likes to do that. His.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody says so. The best people say so. Everybody knows it.
Yeah. People are saying, yeah. And everybody.
So Trump is a dumpster fire. You have him drawn in a burning dumpster, Trump Force number 2. And he says, you'll never take me alive, copper, as the Manhattan DA is chasing him with an indictment. Good looking cartoon. I like the composition.
When he lost the election, I had him riding off into the sunset in a flaming dumpster. But I would revisit that. There it is.
Oh, that's great.
That's very funny.
That's a wonderful cartoon, except he did not disappear into the sunset.
No, he did not.
What a great, simple, beautiful, easy-to-read cartoon.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That is great. Cartoonists like the cartoons that don't have words. They're our favorites. Here you have a drowning Republican elephant handcuffed to Trump, who is dragging him down to further drown. Wonderful cartoon. I notice on all of your cartoons the small hands on Trump.
I guess it started in Spy magazine back in the 1980s. Yep. Somebody made it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that he had small hands. And it made him so angry. And so it kind of became a thing in the last election. So, you know, I think they called him a small-fingered Bulgarian or something like that.
Well, I thought it was a sexual reference from...
It is. That's how I first...
It's both. I think it's both.
No, Rick is right. Suddenly I'm forgetting the fellow's name writing for Spy Magazine. Kurt Anderson.
Yeah.
That's who wrote it.
He started it. He started the whole thing.
So it's not Marco Rubio.
They sort of picked up on it, but Marco Rubio did not start it. It's sort of always been a thing. And so I latched onto it because, you know, anything that annoys somebody, or especially Trump, you try to emphasize. And some people have accused me of making his hands smaller and smaller as I go along. But,
did you say Marco Rubio?
Yeah, he brought it up in the debate.
Okay, so here's a lovely Christmas cartoon. We know how editors love Christmas cartoons. And you have the Trump offering his butt for the Republican elephant to kiss under the mistletoe. Now, I know all of us would prefer to draw this cartoon with his pants down. Right. And we just can't do that. And I know that that was a difficult sacrifice for you.
Yes. Yes, it was. But I felt like you say, editors might run this one more if he was did not have that. And I think this one ended up being fairly well reprinted.
That's very good. I wouldn't have been able to guess whether this would be well reprinted.
The other thing about Trump, the small hands, long tie.
That's right.
Well, it's slimming.
That's what he says, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, here's your Groundhog Day cartoon. Trump is waking up in the Groundhog Day position with the big alarm clock, and he says, oh, no, not again. And the alarm clock says, then put your little hand in mine. Little hands.
Yeah. So this appeared on Groundhog Day during his second impeachment. And I always strive to avoid the cliches and the typical groundhog. And I don't always do that. But I thought this would be a good opportunity to do something a little different for Groundhog Day.
So this was a Groundhog Day cartoon.
Yeah, that literally was a Groundhog Day cartoon.
Oh, that's fun. So here you have his master's voice and the RCA Victor logo, and the Victrola says, go to the Capitol, and the MAGA guy is looking very Neanderthal and has some wonderful tattoos. I love the way you put tattoos on people.
No, thanks. This one was my January 7th cartoon.
I should have mentioned that he's in dog position.
Yes, he's in the dog position, and this came out day after the Capitol riot.
Well, that's great. Day after Capitol riots. How did this cartoon do?
I think it did pretty well.
Great cartoon, Rick. Great drawing. Excellent.
Thank you, Taylor. Appreciate it.
You know, we just had a Left versus Right podcast where the cartoonists were just outraged by the depictions of MAGA people as being stupid. You know, I like to draw them as stupid, too.
Well, I caught that podcast, and I think you did a pretty good job of showing how that particular cartoonist liked to do the same thing for the other side. So it was a little disingenuous.
So here we have Fulton County Jail arresting Trump and a little Angel McCain. And Angel McCain says, I like people who weren't captured. You know, we're trying to get high school history and social studies teachers to use our podcast when they teach about editorial cartoons. And this probably requires some explanation for the high school kids.
Yeah, it's true. This one, it's a little bit of a throwback to the original campaign where Trump said that about John McCain, who was critical of him. And John McCain had been captured during Vietnam. And so it was a big brouhaha when Trump said that about, you know, a war hero, John McCain. And that's another thing I like to do, is to use people's words exactly as they say them against them. And I felt like this was an opportunity to do that for John McCain, who has since passed away, to sort of come back and use Trump's exact words that he said against him.
Here you've got the Presidential Portrait Gallery. Father of our country, George Washington, freed the slaves, Abe Lincoln, and the stupid MAGA guy says, the greatest president in history, on the Trump photo, which is his mugshot in striped felon garb, indicted on 37 federal charges under the Espionage Act. I think this is great.
I've got a neighbor who looks like that guy.
Well, you know, I appreciate it. And the thing that kills me is that that's actually what these Trump supporters say. He's the greatest president in history, and I like him because he never tells a lie. And I'm like, are we talking about the same guy?
Yeah.
It just astounds me.
Rick, this is a nice one. You've got Trump in prison, threatened by a big prisoner who's got an wonderful tattoo. And Trump says, what is that? Prisoner says, a non-disclosure agreement. Trump is famous for his non-disclosure agreements.
Rick, you're so great at telling a story in the most simple, best way. There's not one element in this cartoon that doesn't help your story. It's great.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that. This one got a little bit of blowback online. Some people thought it was crossed the line and it was a little suggestive, but ultimately, I don't care.
Okay, here you have Trump behind the stupid MAGA guy who's got wonderful tattoos. And Trump says, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, and I'm just standing in their way.
Another example, just using his words, you know, that he says.
What a Mussolini kind of thing to do, you know? He's
right.
It makes me crazy when he does that.
Yeah.
He does have nonpartisan tattoos.
He does. I didn't put any partisan tattoos on him this time. Okay. I'm sorry, Taylor, I interrupted you.
That's okay. I'm usually interrupting everybody else. You know, seeing Trump on the podium and he's at a rally, he often actually kind of apes Mussolini in the way he... Yeah, exactly. Very good, Ed. And the chest stuff, yeah.
So here you've got the Republican elephant talking to the election 24 dog, and he says, what's the matter, boy? Did Timmy fall in the well under the shadow of Trump? And, you know, this is one of those cartoons that you need to explain to the high school kids, too.
Yes, that's true. This goes back, probably a pop culture reference that goes back to Lassie. And now, which is a show, way too old for these kids. But,
I used to watch Lassie on Sunday nights, but I think Ed and I are the only ones who might have done that. Oh, Taylor did that.
I'm old. I'm the oldest one here.
Yeah, you're older.
I remember Gramps in his truck, and Timmy always had to. His mother always made him finish drinking his milk before he got up and leave the table.
John
his mother was the mother on Lost in Space, too.
That's right, June Lockhart.
Oh, wow. Wow, you are older than us.
Lassie was the rescue dog. Lassie was the smartest, you know, person on the show. The dog would always come tell, you know, when Timmy fell down the well.
Is there trouble, girl?
Yeah. So that indicates trouble.
That's why editorial cartoons are in newspapers for the old folks.
That's right.
In fact, Darryl, you could have a whole podcast on just the older cartoonists just talking about TV reference.
Well, won't that be good for us? Okay. So here you've got Trump with his tiny hands in handcuffs writing his homework paper, How I Spent My Summer. You know how he spent his summer was getting arrested and putting in the handcuffs, and I think that's a great cartoon.
This was a very, very recent one, and it was just sort of trying to iconically show his historic four indictments.
It's seasonal.
Yeah, it's seasonal.
This is a good-looking cartoon that I debated putting in here because of Trump's butt. It's an Emperor's Got No Clothes cartoon, and you've got the MAGA guys all looking stupid in their own way, listening to the kids say, hey, the Emperor's got no... And they say, shut up, kid, because they don't even look at those things. They're invisible to them.
Right.
Rick, I like how you've got the one text balloon, speech balloon over the other. I like that. You know, Darryl, it seems to me that newspapers are remaining most squeamish of all, because when you think of Trump's language, and more he's starting to use the BS word when he talks, and I'm sure he's going to drop an F-bomb sooner or later. I think language has coarsened generally, and with a great help from Trump in the last number of years, really for decades, but Trump's really accelerated that. And it just seems like, oh my God, newspapers, you got to be careful. You can't even make any kind of reference to those sort of words or acts. And that they're doing it more and more. Right now, the Republicans are championing that song that Rich Men North of Richmond, Anthony Oliver, or Oliver Anthony, and that's full of swear words. But newspapers, you know, editors, watch out.
I also take out the swear words on this podcast. We want high school students to watch this podcast and get a sense of the cartoonists behind the cartoons. The number one email I get is, Dear Mr. Cagle, please explain the cartoon to me. My paper is due tomorrow. That's what we're doing. We're explaining the cartoons to you. That's what we're here for. So we're moving on to you now, Taylor. I have a picture of my wall in my living room. I have two lovely Taylor drawings on my wall. Look at that nice vulture that Steve Sachs sculpted.
I recognized it immediately.
Well, he told me he wanted me to hang that above my desk to remind myself of my deadlines, and I don't do that. But here I've got a Taylor Trump on my wall. Below that is a Civil War General Sherman and General Grant and Robert E. Lee. They're both wonderful. Anyway, this is the Trump on my wall.
I'm glad you're showing this one because I've completely forgotten about it when I was going through the selection for you. Yeah, this was done in 2015 and a historical cartoon, obviously needing some explanation because of the Know Nothing Party, which I think, I'm trying to think now, was it Millard Fillmore who ran as the Know Nothing Party? But they were kind of professing ignorance on slavery, on immigration, everything else.
And that worked.
Yes. And again, that I guess you blocked out the theme, or maybe that wasn't in the original. But the theme was, it's above the vulture, which was, and it was done in, I forget what type, I put it in a type, was, and tonight we're going to party like it's 1856.
Boy, Taylor, you really do need discussion in a history class.
Occasionally.
Beautiful, beautiful drawing, Taylor.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I like the eyebrows.
Yeah.
So here you have Trump and Putin. Trump thinks, oof, Russia's got talent. Am I right? And Putin thinks, he gets elected. This is going to be so easy. This is an oldie when Putin was doing his election interference.
That's great. That's really, yeah. That's really beautiful. Well, you know, Trump said that he was the apple of Putin's eye recently.
Yeah.
He actually said that.
What's the quote?
He said he was the apple of Putin's eye.
You like to draw Trump drooling.
I did then. I kind of stopped doing that. But early on, I did that all the time.
All right. So here you've got Trump.
He's got the drool here, too.
Yeah. You're very consistent about the drool.
Early on, so, I gave up on it, mostly.
What made you give up?
Oh, because people kept asking me about it. I said, well, you know, and plus there's so many old drooling politicians now. I guess I could do them all that way.
Well, I thought this was a nice one. And you got Mike Pence as his lapdog. But Mike Pence is... kind of pushed back a little bit.
Well,
not quite. I wouldn't, back in his lapdog days.
Yeah, early lapdog. Yeah,
he's trying to be president now. Decided to say some things.
So you've got Trump's boys. One looks to be a stormtrooper, goose-stepping. And the other one, Don Jr., is serving Trump steaks and Trump wine. My goodness.
Actually, neither my Ivanka or my Melania are particularly good, in my opinion.
No, I disagree with that.
Thanks.
They're both good.
I've done better with that. But anyway, thank you.
Okay. Here you've got Humpty Trumpty sat on a wall, or was it steel slats? A fence or nothing at all? Concertina wire, concrete barriers, all laid end to end. 'Twas a perverse way to make America great again.
Well,
that's a lovely cartoon.
Well,
he's sitting on the border wall with Mexico.
I think that not only Humpty Dumpty, but a number of Sir John Tenniel's illustrations for Alice in Wonderland, they've informed a number of my cartoons over the year. I'm sure they have, you know, they have for a lot of cartoonists. The Humpty Dumpty thing never goes old, really.
Okay. Here you've got Trump with Kim Jong-un. Trump says, I gave Kim one of my ties. And Kim thinks, or as I call it, America's path to capitulation.
That's a great Kim Jong-un.
That's great.
He's fun to do.
Yeah, his hair is just ridiculous.
Yes. So many world leaders, Trump among them, are famous for their hair. Was it Margaret Thatcher, Ronald Reagan?
Boris Johnson.
Oh, yeah, Boris Johnson. And not included here, I drew a cartoon with Trump holding Boris Johnson up. Boris Johnson is a big furry dog, and it was titled Dogs Who Look Like Their Owners.
That's great.
But it seems like that's a thing. You know, if you become a big world leader, you got to be known for your hair.
Okay, here you've got Trump looking at his phone and Jared coming in with books, China Policy, Reinventing Government, Opioid Epidemic, Mideast Peace, The Wall. Trump says, being president's a dirty job, Jared, but somebody's got to do it. And it looks like Jared is doing the job of being president.
Well, that was early on in Trump's administration. That was a kind of a rap against Jared, that Trump was delegating anything hard to people other than himself.
Very disturbing to think that anything was delegated to Jared.
That's true.
I've never seen a better Jared cartoon.
Thank you.
This is a wonderful one.
Well, of course, this is this was the famous Sharpie incident after Hurricane. You know which hurricane it was? I'm here in Florida, so I should remember. It's the one that plowed into Mexico Beach, I think, in the Panhandle. And Trump came up with his own map with a Sharpie, and he made the one, the big loop up toward the top.
Oh, right. Right.
That was Alabama.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of cartoonists did the thing with the Sharpie, so I decided to actually just do a regular caricature and scribble it with Sharpie. And by the way, that scribbling was the hardest thing to do because I had to make it work. It could have gone wrong.
So you didn't draw that on an overlay or in your computer.
No,
you drew it with a Sharpie on
it. I had to kind of plot it out in my mind. and did a very little bit of pencil sketching over it. I couldn't really follow it too closely because you can't, it wouldn't work. You just couldn't follow those scribbly lines, you know.
It looks spontaneous.
As Russian roulette cartooning.
Yeah, exactly. So it worked, fortunately, I think. And it's fun.
So,
yeah.
Gentlemen, here we've got President Washington, right? Roosevelt, Jefferson, and Lincoln, and says, hey, guys, in a word, how would you describe Donald J. Trump? Washington says, liar. FDR says, charlatan. Jefferson says, ignorant. And Lincoln says, ass.
Well, excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah, those are great.
That's fun. Here you have Trump the bird getting fed a bug by the mama bird. Parasitic Albert. Trump bird, Trumpus americanus. The eggs of the aggressive, fast-growing Trump bird are deposited in the nests of unsuspecting species, which rear it at the expense of their own chicks. Oh, he's a bad one.
He's a bad bird, yeah.
That's good. Well, I know, Taylor, you love the nature illustrations.
Well, I think it's fun.
I'm always telling Taylor that he should make every cartoon he draws a bird cartoon because you can't get enough birds. And, you know, so many of our cartoons are just discussion cartoons. Lots of them are old couples sitting in front of the TV kind of cartoons. And why can't those just always be birds? There's no reason for them to not be birds.
You're right, Daryl. And I thought of saying doing nothing but a bird cartoons for a month or two. I mean, I have to say, it wouldn't be 100% birds. I like drawing primates too, occasionally lizards. Anyway, we've had this discussion before.
People love birds.
Well, they do. So
here you got Trump with the Kool-Aid, and he says to the Republican leaders, "Just be quiet and drink this." They do drink the Kool-Aid.
I don't know if anybody tried to make the top of the little orange hair there over the ice cubes.
I thought it was like a reflective thing.
And I was trying to go.
Like it's
exact regarding the ice cube.
One thing that we notice is that the conservative cartoonists tend to just not draw Trump. Just doesn't come out of their pen. I was thinking, what a different podcast we would have today if I invited a conservative cartoonist on.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy having conversations between people that don't really disagree because the conversation tends to be more fun. We can get into more depth and discuss more things instead of just the same old friction.
Well, you know what's weird? I mean, for years you introduced me as your conservative cartoonist.
For years you were a conservative cartoonist.
And I still consider myself to be conservative. It's just that this conservative movement has moved on to crazy town, and I didn't go with them. I still consider myself relatively conservative. I draw a lot of Biden cartoons. I'm just not this kind of whatever this kind of conservative is.
Well, it's not really conservatism, don't you think? It's kind of something else, you know.
Liberals don't like Biden too. Liberals draw Biden cartoons. It's just the conservatives that edit themselves like that.
I don't know if I.
Well, you know, Daryl, I've said this before, so I'm repeating myself from an earlier podcast. But as I see it, this is very general speaking, but liberals, you can say liberals satirize, conservatives demonize, at least in modern age. And liberal cartoonists went after LBJ. They certainly went after Clinton. We're not trying to prop anything up, whereas I think a lot of conservative cartoonists, Rick accepted, they're trying to protect something.
It's become more of a cult than a political party movement.
It's the way Trump argues a point. You know, he doesn't argue a point. He delegitimizes his opponent or whatever he's against.
Okay, Taylor, tell us about George Washington with this cancer on his presidency of Trump growing out of his cheek saying, "You're fired," and again, drooling. Of course, the cancer on the presidency was what John Dean said at the Watergate hearings about Nixon.
Well, I enjoy when I can. I don't make in getting historical with cartoons, getting historical references.
Invoke history.
I think it's important to do that and not to think of, "Hey, sorry about this, dings. I don't know how to stop this. Maybe it'll end soon."
You know, there is a phenomenon that we tracked quite closely during the Trump years of editors not wanting to print Trump cartoons at all. And I send the top 10 cartoons every week to you guys, which end up being about half of the cartoons that are reprinted and just dominate all the other cartoons. And you have noticed, I'm sure, through the course of the years, how the Trump cartoons just didn't appear there. They really were depressed in the number of reprints. And editors also don't like Ku Klux Klan hoods. They don't like any type of bodily fluids, including drool. They don't like skin conditions. They don't like blood. They don't like poop. You know, all of those things are things that cartoonists love. We love bodily fluids. We love
poop. Well, you know, you think about how far we've come from the things, you know, like the Furblock and Oldfont used to draw. I'm talking about things that I can't even mention on this podcast that were printed in American newspapers. We've moved so far away to that, to whether the sports cartoons, that's all the editors want.
Well, here you have a growth and spittle. I'm sure this didn't get printed.
Nowhere, because that's too bad if so, because after all, Dean said it. And I'm just referring back to history. And of course, Trump, along with his mentor, Roy Cohn, and people like Roger Ailes, founder of Fox, they were great believers that Nixon had been done a terrible wrong, that he had done nothing wrong, really. And in a sense, Roger Ailes, Roy Cohn, and Trump have all been on a quest to kind of change all that. And if they can't...
I think you meant Roger Stone, threw him in there as well.
Well, exactly right. I would hate to think that editors are so squeamish, so afraid that they're going to offend some delicate readership because of a cartoon like this. That's sad if it's really true, Daryl.
Here's another one of yours that I'm also sure didn't get printed just because they don't like the Hitler references, and they don't like calling mainstream politicians Hitler, and they don't like the spittle.
It's a great image, though.
Thank you. Well, Daryl, I think you need to fire me. But
by the way, the spittle's not green in this one.
This predates the little hands thing. This was done in 2015. It was afterwards that the small hands became a common reference.
Ed, we're moving on to you. Here is Loser Trump. This is a wonderful cartoon.
I wanted to have some fun with the typography, yeah. I did a handful of those word cartoons. I think I did Chaos. I don't remember the other ones right now, but had some fun with that one.
Well, this is great. There's no bodily fluids. There's no Hitler, no KKK hoods. But you can make the point without all of that.
I like to try not to offend if at all possible.
Ed, you've got Trump holding Uncle Sam out the window. Uncle Sam, identifiable only by his pants and spats. And Trump says, "Nice country you have here. Be a shame if anything happened to it." A great cartoon.
Thanks. I don't remember the reason I did this, but
what reason do you need, man?
Pretty much every day.
A reason.
Yeah, it's an evergreen. It's another one for you to repost.
Yeah,
but that's another pop culture reference, is it not, Ed?
What do you mean? It was a movie where somebody dangled somebody out the window, wasn't it?
Michael Jackson dangled the baby.
Or the "be shame if anything happened to it." That's
a mafia thing to say.
It's a generic mafia thing to say. Yeah.
Where did that come from? Did it come from a specific film or just something everybody said?
Everybody said it. Oh, this is great, Ed.
Thank you. This is obviously after Pelosi's husband got attacked. This is the second cartoon I've done of Trump in bed, and I like putting the bobby pins.
That's good.
This is a very harsh cartoon, really, dreaming fondly of the hammers injuring Pelosi's husband.
But even without it, it's just violence. Stupidity. You know, just thinking, dreaming stupid stuff.
Stupidity.
Yeah, that's a great loose style, man. I really like that.
Oh, thanks.
You know, hard-hitting cartoon. So here is Trump as raid, spraying, kills, votes dead, vote repellent. That's fun.
That's great.
You know, as an aside, I actually worked on some of the animated commercials for Raid in the 80s.
I love those Raid commercials. You know, they look like Jack Davis designed them.
The Raid characters were designed by Bob Kurtz.
Oh, Bob Kurtz.
Yes.
He did the Studio Kurtz and Friends. He did the dinosaurs in the gas tank.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, he's great.
He's great, yeah.
I didn't know he drew like Jack Davis.
He's a versatile artist guy.
Don't you think they looked Jack Davis-y?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, they do. They do Mad Magazine-y. Yeah.
Well, I love those.
They were very fun to draw in motion.
Oh, I didn't know you worked on those. That's fun.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you've got a kind of a Grinch thing going in the Trump face as well. A Grinch grin.
The mean and sweet at the same time.
And the orange of the can is just a delight. Okay, this is one that you just drew with Trump on the golf course. He says, "I was too busy to sort through the boxes. I'm a busy guy," as he's out golfing every day.
This is a favorite of mine because there's two Trump caricatures in it. They got the caricature his big butt.
That's awesome.
Wonderful stuff.
Thank you.
Here we have Trump being carried away on a little GOP elephant, but he is very big and heavy. He says, follow me in the wrong direction. And the GOP elephant says, getting tired of carrying you, sure. Bub. You know, this is not a broadly held view in the GOP.
I wonder why. He's not helping.
Well, you know, a little wishful thinking in this cartoon.
I think, yeah. Daryl, that it's not a publicly held view in the GOP. I think your establishment GOP wishes he would go away, but they will not say it publicly.
So, big difference between the establishment and the grassroots?
That's what I think.
Okay. Here we have Trump saying, I plan on running away from indictments as he speeds along, leaving only his bobby pins behind.
Another animation thing.
What I'm thinking, that's, is it good. Jackie Gleason or Dennis the Menace in terms of running?
That's a Jackie Gleason thing on the left. That's for,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's Jackie Gleason posture.
Yeah, right. But I mean, right.
And away we go.
Right.
Again, you have to explain who Jackie Gleason is, because this is for high school.
Time ago.
Well, not to the readership. It's so old, the newspaper.
Yeah.
That's only a 70-year reference. What is that?
Only 70 years. That's true. It's the late 50s.
Man, another reference to the character Witch Hazel with the spinning bobby pins on the zip out.
Oh, I don't know Witch Hazel.
It's a Warner Brothers cartoon thing. This character would go, and she would just leave a couple of bobby pins spinning in the air.
I have to look that up.
Oh, I remember that. This is a podcast for Grandpa.
Well, that's who the newspaper readers are, Daryl.
We do know our audience, don't we?
Aren't we all grandpas here?
Not yet.
So here you go with Trump about to hit the fan.
Well, this one definitely went crazy viral.
Yeah?
Yeah. It did on social media for sure.
Well, it's a wonderful wordless cartoon.
Listen, that's a great image, Ed.
Thanks. Didn't take that long.
All right, explain this one to us, Ed.
This is my most recent one. I did this the other day.
Well, you've got Trump playing the victim, and he's holding an orange card in front of his face with a sad face drawn on it, with all the people pointing their fingers at him because he's the accused. Is this a sad, crying drawing with a Sharpie because he's hiding that he's not really sad?
He's correcting everybody's impression. He wants everybody to know that he's just shocked by all the recent accusations. I think it's my second or third Sharpie cartoon.
He's putting on a face of being sad when he's not sad.
Yeah, for sure. And I was able to make his face orange. I just like being able to do that. Yeah. This cartoon, it's layered with symbols. The symbols of the fingers and Trump covering his face. And
the arm in the top right is especially well drawn. Arm and hand.
I use the camera hard to draw hands. Hands are really hard.
They're fun if you do it right. You're always pleased, you know. I'm pleased with myself that I do hands well.
Hands are hard.
Okay, gentlemen, here we have a toddler Trump dressed in turn of the century toddler clothes, crying and stamping and saying, "But I'm president, no fear."
Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Yep.
Grow up with a privileged existence and the wine.
And Grandpa, who is Little Lord Fauntleroy?
Isn't that from the 30s?
Yeah.
We're
down to a 100-year reference now.
Yeah, maybe. This was inspired by the Marx Brothers. Harpo stealing the silverware.
Oh, that's fun. You want to explain who Harpo is?
The Marx Brothers were a comedy trio in the early part of the 20th century.
Well, this is fun. So you've got Trump with the silverware dropping out of his sleeve. You don't see his head, but you see all of them that you need to. And it says, missing White House items found at Mar-a-Lago, the pile of silverware that he's sneaking out. This was a 1930s movie trope where people would steal the silverware because they're all poor, but they would always have these interactions with things that rich people would do because movies were about rich people versus poor people. And one of the things that you would do is steal the silverware. And so this is for Ed, a Marx Brothers trope.
an Ed show.
Okay.
Kind of Ed Rick's handcuff cartoon.
Yes, this is a small hands in handcuffs on Trump's back. And it's wonderful because you know everything that's going on with not having to draw a very explicit thing to describe it. The small hands in handcuffs. I assume this was when he was booked recently.
I was just making fun of him possibly being arrested and the small hand, big butt thing.
This was before he was arrested.
Ed,
it was before he was arrested, yeah.
Ed, can I ask you, rather than just assume that there's also a thought that because of the small hands, obviously able to get out of those cuffs, that he may end up slipping out of this whole thing. Was that also intentional?
No, that was just the result of, you know, that's what it looked like after I laid it down on paper. But it didn't make real sense. It made cartoon sense.
But in a cartoon like that, Ed, I think probably, you know, you've done this long enough that you're doing it subconsciously, but readers like to be treated intelligently. You didn't need to show his face. You didn't need to show his hair and all that. You showed the bare minimum, and it's plenty enough for readers who are smart, and readers like to be treated like they're smart. They get it.
One of the good things about it, having Trump as president, is he's made of such fundamental symbols and colors. You know, he's got his own palette. You know, he's got his thing, the yellow hair and the big stupid hair. And
well, he wears the same color tie, and he wears a blue suit, and red tie, and you can count on that.
Yeah, that's deliberate. I'm sure it's deliberate.
Well, the best cartoons have no words and have the least symbols and don't have labels. And okay, gentlemen, that sounds like a good place to stop it. Everybody come back to the next Kegelcast. Remember to subscribe and like wherever you're watching this, especially on YouTube. We would appreciate that. And we'll see you on the next Kegelcast. I think we're going to do a number of these favorite cartoons about Trump Kegelcast, because the cartoonists have lots of Trump cartoons, and now's the time to do some Trump bashing. So thank you, everybody, and I will see you next time.